First of all, I want to say it's a blessing to be able to stand up here. I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. But Jesus saw worth in me. And he's blessed me tremendously. If you have your Bibles with you, and you've already got them open, if you would turn back to the book of Luke, it would be chapter 15. It'll be verse number 11 is where I would like to begin. When you found your place, if you don't care, just to stand to your feet. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. When he arose and came to his father, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father, said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." That's verse 11 through 24. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. If you would pray with me. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to stand before you. I thank you that when I was yet a great way off, you came to me. I thank you that you took me in as if I had never left. And I pray, God, that if there's someone here that may be lost, whether they're spiritually lost or they've run away from home, I pray, God, that you would bring them back before it's too late. I thank you for all that you've done for us. And I pray, God, that the prayer request mentioned today would be answered. I pray that you would speak through me, God. Let me be nothing more than a vessel for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. So, this is a very familiar passage in Luke, and it's one that's really close to my heart. Jesus is speaking to the multitude around him, and he uses three parables. The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. Not necessarily in that order. The younger son makes a demand of his father that he's going to get his inheritance now instead of waiting until his father passes on and go off on his own. Now, how many of us are like that? I mean, let's be honest here. But I want you to imagine this for me, okay? Those of you, especially those of you with teenagers, this will be a little bit easier, I think. Your child, your youngest child, walks up to you one day and just says, Mom, Dad, I love you, but I'm tired of living here. I don't like your rules. And I think I'd be better off on my own. I think I can manage my own life. Most of you would say, no, no, go to your room, get away from me, no. Well, in this parable, the father says, okay. And he gives it to him. It says that not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, when somebody we love makes a poor choice, and we know it's wrong, it's our nature to do everything we can to prevent them from doing it, right? But eventually, we'll reach a point where we have to let go. And that's what the father does for his son in this situation. Maybe it's because his son's like me and he's stubborn as a mule. You can ask my wife. But they don't learn until they crash into the wall at 80 miles an hour and realize what they've done. So in verse 13, the son has what he desires. He separates himself from the Father, and we like to think that sometimes God is going to stop us. You know, we think God won't let this happen. He'll stop them before they get into their own way.
Amen.
Unfortunately, that's not always the case. You see, we have to realize the consequence of our sin. And so, second, I think we see the outcome of the son's choice. In verse 14, it says, "When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." To be in want means he was broke. He had nothing. Everything that he had that his father gave him, he wasted. I mean, we're like that. You get something nice, you show it off, we spend our money, then you're broke. You've got nothing, and you're starving. So here he was. You think he was ready to go home yet? No. He figured, I'll take up with somebody here. I'll find a job, and I'll build myself back up. He got a job feeding pigs. It's not much of a job, is it? I'd say he made some new friends when he was in this land. I mean, he had money. He came from wealth. I'd say he could flash his wallet in front of a few strangers, and they'd want to get to know this guy. He seems pretty interesting. What can he do for me? And I'd say when he was broke, they acted like they didn't know him. And he was alone. The consequence of his sin put him alone, separated from his father. You see, living for the world is a lust with an endless hunger. You can feed it all you want, but you're never going to satisfy it. And it's going to eat you alive. The Bible says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. So this once wealthy son who had everything he could have ever desired, he probably didn't have it so bad, is a servant feeding pigs. I'd say he probably had to sleep with them. So what may seem like fun today, it'll grow. And he'll never satisfy it. In verse 16, he's starving. It says he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He couldn't even beg for coins. But here, we've got the son's realization. In verse 17, it says, when he came to himself. Okay, I want to pause there. Came to himself. That's where he had that moment when he realized his mistake. And it's not until somebody realizes their mistake and they get sick of their circumstances that they can make any decision to change. The sons realize that even his father's servants aren't starving, and in fact, they've got more than they need. So he's probably thinking to himself, what am I doing here? At least as a servant to his father, he'd be in a better situation than the current one. So he makes up his mind. We'll look at it. He says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he's realized he's screwed up. He's lost it. Everything he had, he blew it. He's realized that his own way isn't going to do it. This world has nothing for him. But he's humiliated, and he's humbled. What a great thing it is to be humbled. You see, he's at a point now where he says, even if I go back to my dad, do you think he would forgive me? Do you think he would? I don't expect him to let things go back to normal. I mean, I probably hurt his feelings. I basically told him that I didn't want to live with him anymore and it'd be better off if he were dead. That was me too. Now, I'd like to imagine he's walking back home, covered in pig filth. He probably stinks. This guy who probably wore the nicest clothes he could afford is covered in mud, filth. Smells like an animal. He's hanging his head low. He's probably hiding his face in case he runs into somebody he knows on the way back. His sin has caught him, and he's got nothing but shame. He's broken. He's filthy. I was too. See, I was filthy. I had nothing. Nothing to my name. And boy, was I unworthy. I'm not worthy to stand here in front of you. I'm not even worthy to say his name. But he forgave me. So, This is my favorite part. I love this. It says in verse 20, he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Okay. It wasn't just a matter of, oh, there's that boy. No, I mean.
Amen, preacher.
Caleb, let me borrow you just a minute, man, if you don't care. Just stand right here. Okay, this father.
Yeah.
Now, he's not just getting the house. He's, you're back.
You're back. I missed you. I love you. Come home.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Now, it says, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But you notice, he didn't finish. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He didn't have time to request just to be a servant. His father was so excited to see him come home, he wouldn't let him be a servant. That's what he deserved. Probably didn't even deserve to come back. But there's a significance in that. You see, there's something about this that excites me to my core. Servants didn't wear shoes. They didn't wear nice robes. And they definitely didn't wear a ring. He didn't make his son a servant. He put a ring on his finger. You see, a ring, it carries great significance. I mean, you think about it, those of you that are married, if you just stopped wearing your ring one day, your spouse would probably not like it, right? I know mine wouldn't. A ring had a great meaning behind it. It was a symbol of status, of authority. It wasn't just an item of vanity. And by putting that ring on his son's finger, he not only welcomed him back as his son, but welcomed him back to his former position, like he never left. The father is celebrating the return of his son. He's rejoicing in the decision the son made to come back home. He didn't have contempt. He had compassion. He had forgiveness. He had benevolence. Church, I'm not worthy to speak his name, but he loved me. That when I ran away, when I was lost in my sin, when I was living for the world, he found me where I was, and he came to me. He had mercy on me in a wicked, awful state. Now, if that's not worth a shout, I don't know what is. And in verse 24, we see a cause of celebration. It says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. Now, he doesn't mean he was physically dead, gone from this world. He was dead in the spirit. He belonged to this world. He had forgotten where he came from, where he was delivered from. But it says he's alive again. See, that's the beautiful part. Maybe you're here and maybe you've run away from home. I did it. I'll be the first to tell on myself, because honestly, I'm preaching to myself as much as I am you. I ran away from home. I was raised in church. I got out of the will of God. I thought I knew him. I knew him in my head. But I didn't love him enough to give him everything. In fact, I ran away from that for a long time. And I thought I knew better. I thought, well, I'm in control of my life. I can do this on my own. My hands taught me evil. His hands set me free. So maybe you're like I was, or like this son. You see, this parable, in fact, the first three parables just show you the magnitude of God's love. He loves to find the lost. And he loves his children even when they run. And he'll let you run for a while. But if you truly know him and truly love him, you'll come back home. You can't get away from it forever. So maybe you are in that state. Well, there's no better time than right now to find the answer you're looking for. Maybe you are saved and you're just stagnant. Maybe you've gotten away from it. Maybe you just don't feel it the same way you used to. Maybe you've found things on this earth that you think will keep you happy. It won't last. You'll have to come back. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. Your father, God, is waiting. He's looking for you. He's not going about his own business just another day. He's looking for you, actively seeking you. And he knows where you are. And he could make you come back if he really wanted to. But he loves you and wants you to have that choice. So before I turn it back over to the preacher, I just ask that you look in your heart. Whether it's there or it's not, it's never too late. No matter how far you've gone, you will never go too far. Thank you.